You know that feeling when you're about to score 30% off, but they want your number? Ugh. Give them your Line 2 number instead. It's a second line on your phone, perfect for nabbing promo codes without inviting spam to your party. Sign up for every discount under the sun, then block the junk texts that follow. You get all the perks, but none of the spammy baggage. More codes, less chaos. Visit line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in the App Store and get your shopping sidekick today. Because the only thing blowing up your phone should be good deals.
One of the best ways I ever give the gift of perspective to myself is by stepping away. You can't see your business when you're that close to it. You can't see what its needs are. You can't see what the pieces are. So one of the best things I ever do for our company is leaving it for a day or two, just walking away.
Finally, after 5 years of product failures, my 35th offer actually worked. And my next 55 products generated over $11 million in sales in just 4 years. But after seeing the flaws in my baby business, I decided to shut it all down and restart from scratch, as entrepreneurs do. Follow me and the other capitalist pig-loving entrepreneurs as I continue my journey to $100 million in sales. I'm your host, Steve J. Larson, and welcome to Season 2 of Sales Funnel Radio.
How's it going, everyone? Steve Larson. Welcome back to another episode of Sales Funnel Radio. This is a show of me documenting my journey towards the $100 million mark, and it's going well. We've already crossed the 2 comma club this year, collected. If it was accrued, it was a while ago, but... And we are marching forward, and it's been a lot of fun, but what I've been trying to bring into Season 2 a little bit more, if you've been following this show at all, is a little bit more of the internal conversations that I have with myself. So some of this, again, is straight business strategy, and others of it is like, hey, here's how I handle the stress of it. And this episode is a little more of the latter, how I handle the stress of it. I don't always handle it well. That's been an educational piece. You know, and it's the reason why I call it the parallel journey, right? It's the journey where you got one journey you're going on, and it's like, hey, I'm going to go build a business. I'm going to make something successful. I'm going to make more money than I did when I was in my 9-to-5. You know, like that's the reason why most of us get into entrepreneurship. And a lot of us don't choose to, which are, you know, kind of a victim of circumstance. And I kind of was both circumstance and, you know, choice for that. So, all right. I get asked the same themes of questions almost all the time. And it's fine. But there's patterns in them. And sometimes when they pop up, they're great. It's great episode material because I'm like, oh, yeah, I should definitely talk about that. So I woke up this morning, guys, and I was, I'm just going to be vulnerable, all right? I was pretty mad. I didn't, I feel like I've not slept very much lately and working my face off, and the to-do lists are always just getting bigger, and I'm like, what the heck, right? And it's the worst feeling ever. And part of it has been such a blessing because what it's allowed me to realize is that, you know, the saying is still true. You know, if the business must have you in order to survive, you don't have a business. You are the business, right? That's still a true thing. And that's a journey itself. Learning to offload everything. A lot of times people will assume that entrepreneurs are not willing to offload, you know, and they're control freaks. And I have found that that's certainly the case sometimes. But not all the time. In fact, I say it's the minority of entrepreneurs who are unwilling to give up control. That's not the case most of the time. I find that it's more of a skill set issue. They don't know how to let go. It's not that they're not willing to let go. They want to. They want to offload. They want to give stuff to the people. They want to, you know, and, you know, I found myself in various phases. You know, like, okay, the first time you ever went and like launched a product on the internet, and if you haven't before, that's totally fine. All right. Just take this as like, hey, this might be coming on the horizon a little bit. I'm not trying to pretend I have a crystal ball or anything like that, but it tends to be the pattern that just as there are phases in your skill set, like, all right, I've learned how to make $1,000 a month, just $1,000 a month, right? And then learning how to make $10,000 a month might be a bit of an upgrade in either your business systems or your sales systems, right? You actually start having a sales funnel and such, right? And then you're like, okay, man, I'm going to make the jump from 10,000 a month to 30,000. That's a huge jump, huge in the amount of stuff that's the different things that you got to do to get it up and out the door, right? And then you're like, all right, man, I'm going to go from 30,000 a month to 100,000 a month. That's a different set of structure, different mentality, totally different mentality. Then going from 100,000 a month to 300,000 a month, I've done that many times in a month, but not at a spot that does not need me. And now we're finally getting to that place, which is very exciting. And my point is that, like, just as the business and you as the skill sets, where you like level up tier by tier, 10,000 a month, 30,000 a month, 100,000 a month, 300,000, you know, just as like your business skill sets are running into that, you also on a confidence, personal happiness, fulfillment, satisfaction level are also going through that same thing. Like, think about this. When I was just like broke as a joke, you know, like crazy joke, lost in the sauce, all the other cool phrases. When I was just like totally lost, meaning revenue wise, and I was negative cash flow and I was living on loans and all that. The thing that would make me the happiest in that moment was cash flow, right? And a lot of people that way. What do you need the most usually is the thing that you don't have the most that you really do need, right? Like money, right? But what happens when you start solving the money problems in your life? It's not like, I hate the saying, more money, more problems. That's a dumb saying. That's a stupid saying. That's the exact same type of saying as someone's like, the customer's always right. Bull crap on both of them. Bull crap. Not true. All right. More money, more problems. No. More money, different problems. More money, higher tier problems. More money, more eloquent, funner to solve, long-term life problems. Don't say no to getting rich simply because there's other problems after you solve the money problem. That's actually one of the blessings of getting more money. It was one of the most surprising aspects for sure when I started making cash was, I noticed this was about 3 years ago and I was like, holy crap, like I have, you know, and I was not like rolling in it, but I wasn't not rolling in it. You know, we were doing pretty well and I was hitting this point where I started realizing like, okay, the money issues problem is starting to fade away. That's so exciting. How awesome. That's so fun. Yay. But as that problem began to dissipate, the other problems suddenly had a voice. It's not like they weren't there before, right? Steven, you're suffering with some anxiety. Steven, sometimes you get depressed. Steven, you're not happy in these areas of your life. Steven, it's not like they weren't there before. I just couldn't hear them. The money problem was the one that was speaking louder, right? And so I see this happen often, and more often than not, I have found that that's the real issue. Someone doesn't go to the next tier. It's not that they don't have or possess the skill set. It's that they self-sabotage because there's no way they can handle the next level of revenue. They're still dealing with the problems of their internal voice saying, hey, you're using the business to run from your relationship because you're not happy in it. You see what I'm saying? Or whatever it might be. Okay. So like, if you guys know my journey, you guys have kind of seen me go through this. And I'm just being open. So here we are. All right. So that's been a big realization. And as much as I didn't want it to be like the answer and the thing that I'm supposed to focus on and the next tier to focus on and go after, right? It really is. When you start making enough money to cover your needs, right? Legitimate human needs. And it begins to, the business may not even need to learn how to not need you yet. It might still need you. Like, you don't really have a business until it doesn't need you, in my opinion. The business is when you're not needed and you still own it. That's ownership. That's not CEO, right? Well, what I'm trying to do, what Marley and I are trying to do right now in our company is graduate CEO. We're in CEO right now. It's very systems and process heavy. All right, a lot of training, a lot of leadership development. And that's really what the focus is on, is that. That's the other reason why you don't see me guys like out running in front of the company so often. Also just like, come buy from us. We have more leads than we can handle in the moment. Like, if you want to work with us, you got to reach out to us. We're almost capped as it is. All right. So that's not been the problem. The problem has been, not that it's the issue, but the next challenge is we are learning how to offload the roles of CEO and learn, not that they're being a burden on somebody else, but that there's documented processes in place and somebody has the ownership of it. That's a big deal, right? That, again, difference between CEO and owner, right? If you're a CEO, you're definitely an owner, but you could be an owner and not be a CEO. I mean, it's not like Warren Buffett is the CEO of all his companies. He owns them. You see what I'm saying? that's a different tier of business. And I'm so excited. That's what we've been learning about doing. So I know it might sound like I don't have a point here, but stick with me. I have a huge point with this. As I have been continuing to grow and develop, and I've been practicing my skill sets and gifts and things that aren't funnels, I feel like I've got that framework down to an 80% level. And that's good enough for me. Well, it's the 20% that gets the 80%, right? I have found that it's other things that make the funnel work anyway. You know what I'm saying? So anyway, we'll talk about that another time. But as these business skill sets have been growing, the other thing that's been happening is as I speed up business-wise, I actually have been needing to speed up in personal development. That's the point, right? That's the point. And so I have several coaches. I spend a lot of money on coaching, personal coaching, and people helping me, showing me where my blind spots are, helping me see down the horizon. Like, that's one of the best things you could ever spend your money on, is just getting coaches. Pay people who are further than you. It collapses time way faster than you ever could. I'm just going to learn how to do it on my own. It's not a smart way to do business. Like, it's about collaboration, right? So anyway, the last 3 or 4 days have just been like a little bit like kind of pissed, you know, just like not satisfied. I'm like, what is going on? What is going on? What's happening on my inside? Why is my brain a freaking mess? I thought everything was like getting better. Like, whoa. Right? And that happens to me sometimes. And I'd rather own it than act like everything's perfect. It's not. I got my own issues. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm a real dude. I'm human. Just like anybody else. So anyway, so I woke up this morning and I was just like, gosh, I need a break. It's a Thursday as I'm recording this right now. I have never done what I did today. I woke up and I just was kind of just like, oh my gosh, like I just gotta go let loose, you know? I gotta let loose. I gotta beat my chest like a man in the sun. You know what I'm saying? Like, I gotta sweat. I gotta get my face dirty. Get some mud. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. Like, I gotta get away from my desk. Oh my gosh. Like, and that's super normal. And it's part of the reason that I'm doing this episode is that's normal. That's so healthy. Hustle, 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 hustle till you die. Garbage, bull crap, not true, super unhealthy. Very true when you're birthing a company from the beginning. All right. I totally believe in hustle as a phase, not a lifestyle. Hustle is a terrible lifestyle. It's going to shred all of your relationships and the one with yourself. It's awful. Don't do that. But when you're getting something off the ground, yeah. Commit. All right, I'm going to spend 3 to 6 months in hardcore hustle phase, and then whew, I'm going to take a break. That's kind of how I do it. Not that that's how you have to, but that's how I tend to do it. And so what I've noticed is my pattern has been that I will hustle, 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 and then I usually hit this point where I'm just like, whew, I'm exhausted. The good kind, though, where I feel like satisfied. I'm like, man, look what we built. This is so cool. I hit a point of exhaustion. I hit a wall, and I'm like, whew, I got to put it all down for a moment. And the way I put it down for a moment is usually by physically leaving, going somewhere on a trip. I don't know. There's usually some kind of aggressive sport or, I don't know, something that's a little bit extreme. And that's exactly what I do. And so today I woke up, I had no plans to do this. And I was like, I just need to go on a drive. So I was like 7 or 8 in the morning and I just got in my truck and I started driving and I was like, I love the mountains, everybody. I need to live by some kind of prominent land feature, either near the mountains or near the beach. It's one of the two. Something big. It's gotta be a prominent land feature. My soul has a very tough time living near blah landscape. Not that it's a blah way to live. It's just, I don't know. I get a lot of inspiration from wildlife. So I got in my truck and I started driving. And so I started driving up this mountain. Like the highway, you know, up towards the mountains in Boise, which are just beautiful, by the way, beautiful mountains. And I'm driving up there, and just this amazing, huge river is right next to this two-way highway in this canyon going up this mountain, kind of valley area. And I stopped by it and I just hung out by it for 2 hours. And then I was like, I don't have anything on my calendar today. I got stuff to do, of course, but I need a me time. I need some me time. And so what I did is I was like, man, I'm pretty close to Lake Cascade. And Lake Cascade and McCall are these two awesome lakes just beautiful mountain lake set in like this gorgeous valley scenery. I mean, it's amazing. It's so beautiful that ClickFunnels like 3 years ago did an affiliate competition and I placed in the top 10 so that I got to go on this affiliate prize to an Airbnb on a mansion right on the lake with a dock straight on it. We jet skied, it was awesome, super cool. And I kind of fell in love with that lake at that time, but I haven't been back up since. And so, you know, there's a pandemic, all stuff going on, big changes for me. Yeah, so I just haven't had time to come back up. So anyway, it's only an hour and a half from where I live. I was already really close. I was like, shoot, I'm gonna go to Lake Cascade. I'm already really close. So I came up here to Lake Cascade on a whim, no swimsuit, just wearing shorts. And I was like, I'm gonna go rent a jet ski and I'm just gonna rip on a jet ski for about 4 hours. So that's exactly what I did. And I just turned it back in and I'm driving back right now. I was gonna record this podcast on the lake and I was like, that might not.
Hey, I hope you're enjoying the episode. Let me interrupt for just 1 minute here. One time I was speaking on the stage at this event, this guy picked up a microphone and he said, Steve, when do Facebook ads begin paying off? And I remember looking confused and just asking back, like, what do you mean? He repeated the question and said, well, we've been spending a lot of money on Facebook ads for a long time now, and we're just wondering when this begins to all pay off, when we actually start making money from the ad. I said, wait, Facebook ads are not an investment. They don't pay off someday. This is direct response marketing. So if we don't get a payoff within the first few days, we turn off the ads. How much money have you spent? I will never forget the look at this guy's face as he realized he had the completely wrong mindset about ads. And he said, we've spent over $250,000 without any return on ads at all. My stomach fell out of my body. Look, this is direct response marketing, meaning we measure the direct response of our marketing. That's why ads are the holy grail of marketing. They're not an investment that pays off someday, sorry colleges, because every dollar spent on ads should return with another dollar very soon. That's what my good friend John Parks and I are doing the Chief Ads Officer Workshop on May 15th through the 17th. John has spent over $150 million in Facebook ads profitably and manages the ads accounts for some of the biggest names out there. John is going to take 50 business owners through his unique Facebook ads process while you follow along. At the end, you're going to have your own account running. I simply asked John to show us what's working best today in the ads world right now. John told me that one of the hardest parts of running ads today is finding the right person to do it. Traditional org charts don't really have a spot for the ad buyer, so this workshop will help you install a new role, whether in-house or if you go hire, the new role of Chief Ads Officer inside your business. This workshop is both for those who want to learn ads themselves or for those who want to learn to communicate with their media buyer better. The workshop is only happening one time in person in my event studio in Boise, Idaho, May 15th through the 17th, and all the details are at chiefadsofficer.com. Go to chiefadsofficer.com right now to save your seat and get more details. We can't wait to see you there. Let's get back to the episode.
Be a good judgment call. So I waited, but I still see the lake. I am driving away right now and just pulled away from the dock and started this podcast. Because I want to just talk real quick about the importance of perspective and taking breaks and stepping away and realizing that a business is not a business if it still demands your daily attention. I don't know what that's called, but it's not the way I define business. Or maybe it is, and I'm talking about company, you know? Difference between a business and a company, I don't know. Might be just straight synonyms, but I'm not convinced that just because you have sales and cash flow that you have a business. You have a hobby that made money. A business is something that can run without you, right? A business is something that does not need your daily input. In order to do that, even if you have a very custom-based business where you got to customize everything to the T, if it still needs you, it's not a business. It's certainly not freedom and probably not the reason why you got into entrepreneurship, right? And so I have found tremendous help by stepping away. I used to do this thing when I was in college. I was running this little company. We had 15 of us in this company. We made $3,000 a week in this little tiny food business that we created. We were selling empanadas. And I was voted as the CEO. And I was kind of like sad because I'm not really a foodie. I like food, but I mean, cooking does not sound like fun to me. You know, people are like, oh, I go cook. I'm like, oh, I'd rather paint, which I've been painting a lot more lately. It's awesome. Anyway, so I used to leave. Like, get this. Think about this in terms of your own company. What would happen if you did this? I used to go, and I still do this sometimes. What I would do is I would literally disappear from, we had two places you could buy, or we had the front stand where you could buy empanadas from. And then we had like the back kitchen area, which was actually part of the campus food court kitchen. They actually gave us a portion of their kitchen to work out of, which was really kind of cool. And so we had all this really cool equipment in there, and anyway, we ran our company out of there, and it's super cool. And that was the purpose of the semester. That, like, the whole semester, you just do that, just to learn business skill sets and stuff. And it's really cool. So I started making it a habit to disappear in the most busy, packed times in the company. And if that sounds like I'm being a jerk, stick with me. Okay, because this was a gift to the business. It doesn't feel like it in the moment. It feels like, Steve's a jerk. Where is he? What I would do is I would literally disappear, and then I would observe, because I created departments. And I was like, hey, this is going to be a marketing department. Who wants to be the head? Bam, you're the head of the marketing department. Who's going to be finance? Bam, you're head of finance. I want you to keep our you know, I want a forecast, and I also want accounting. All right, forecast is future-looking. Accounting is previous, you know, history-looking. And so I was like, I want both of those. And keep our margins at this type of profit. You tell me if we're coming out of those margins. All right, then I went over to supply chain. I created a supply chain department. I said, who's going to be in charge of our supply chain? Boom, you're in charge of ordering all the food. I want you to heckle back and forth, get the cheapest prices we can while not dropping quality. Right? So that's what I was doing, and that's what I was running, and it was awesome. And so what I started doing is I started realizing that all of these departments, I would go back to our little dorm or a little apartment in the evenings, and I would field like 2 hours of questions. And I was like, why am I getting 2 hours of questions? 2 hours of questions? I'm not running these departments. These other people are running these departments. What are you talking? What do you mean? Right? And what I started realizing was that I had not transferred authority or given a process that was strong enough to not need me yet. This was a huge moment. I learned this back in college, right? 5-6 years ago now. And this is a big moment for me because I was like, oh my gosh. So what I did is I had a meeting with the whole company before we opened shop, before the store opened, before all that stuff. And I had a meeting with everyone, and I said, look, who runs marketing? And everyone said, that person over there. And I said, yeah, right, that guy, not me. So when you have a question that relates to anything with marketing, who should you go to? And someone was like, well, I go to you, but for this. I was like, absolutely, 100%, heck no, right? Do not come to me. I do not run that department. That guy does. Why are you asking me? Sounds like I'm being a jerk, okay? But if you don't draw lines in the sand, there's a reason why the military calls it chain of command, right? You create a communication stream because otherwise it's freaking chaos, especially if chaos is happening. Right? There's a pecking order on purpose for a reason, for these reasons. Same principle, same concept. Information must flow to the top without the leader reaching down to get it. Always. Right? So I told everyone in the company, I said, if you have a marketing question, you need to go ask the marketing person. If you have a finance question, you need to go ask the finance question. Second part of that though, I looked at all the department heads and I said, if you have a question that's asked of you and you immediately turn around and ask it to me, you're already wrong. Okay? I am giving you authority to answer 80% of questions in my name for me. What do you think the answer is? Great, do that. And even if it's not exactly what I would do, the point is it runs without me. And so I was practicing this back in college, and I was practicing this in a stupid empanada business, okay? Something that I was not passionate about at all, right? And so I woke up this morning and I was like, let's test the systems, all right? I need a break, and there's nothing wrong with letting things break in your company. I don't mean leave them broken, but there is a gift to seeing where the stress fractures are in your business. What are the stress fractures? What are the things that are keeping you back? What are the things that you didn't realize that you're still super involved in that honestly are two tiers above you and or two tiers below you and you shouldn't be involved in at all and you're kind of just still not just letting go? Who is it that said, someone said, if you want to get rich really quick, one of the best things you got to learn how to do is let go of everything very, very fast, especially as an entrepreneur. Do not try to have every skill set. Do not try to be involved in every decision. Do not try to know everything at all times going on in every single season of all things in your business. You're never going to scale, right? That's why you transfer authority. You draw a process. I physically, literally draw a process. I draw the process I like to use like a flow chart software. I like Lucidchart. Lucidchart's a fun one. I think you can use it for free for a while. There's a ton of them though. And honestly, you could just literally physically draw. I do that on my iPad also sometimes. But I just draw the process. Hey, when someone buys, you know, fulfillment department. We have two fulfillment departments. When somebody buys fulfillment department, hey, look, what's the first step? This. Then what happens? This. Then what happens? This. Then what happens? This. And if you're like, look, I literally don't know how to build processes in my company, I really think of it more of capturing processes than creating processes. If you've been successful at all, you already have a process. You just never captured it. So you're actually closer than you might think. So number one, take time off. Sit back. Don't be so afraid that the business success is exactly and equally tied to your personal and individual self-worth. I've done that. It's like the fastest way to the entrepreneurial grave. You will compare yourself to death. It's like the fastest thing that kills. In fact, Dan Sullivan has a course on that. He calls it the gap. He's like, that's the fastest way to die, but comparison. So number one, your self-worth has nothing to do with your business success. All right. Of course, we all take pride in it. Men, we tend to derive our identities based on our occupation, stereotypically a little more than women. Women do it typically a little bit more, you know, with a lot of home stuff. Now, if you're the entrepreneur, right, that's like, it's totally different. But we all create our identities and the value of our identities a little bit. I'm not trying to be weird. All right, you understand what I'm saying? No one feel weird about what I just said there. I'm not saying that men and women can't be different, you know, can't do the same thing and all that. That's not what I'm saying. No one quote me on that. What I'm saying is we all derive our identity and the value of our self-worth differently. Be careful that it's not based on the success of your company or on you being busy and filling every part of your day with some work fidget and wrestling, convincing yourself, no, I'm fulfilled. No, I'm happy. And you're like completely just miserable. Be honest. If you're not happy, say it. Nothing will change until you're honest. And so number one, just take a break if you need one. That's okay. I think perspective is one of the coolest gifts. I think it's one of the major purposes of life. Like major purposes of life. Like it's all, we're here to gain perspective. We do that a lot of times by messing up. We do that a lot of times by succeeding. But it's all perspective, right? You get wisdom. In my opinion, it's like one of the main reasons we're here. So like you're gaining perspective, right? Think about how valuable perspective is. There's a friend that I've been coaching a little bit on the side just for fun. And she's coached me like crazy too. And she was like, what should I do next? You have so much confidence in this stuff. How do you know this stuff is going to work? How do you know it's going to succeed? And I was like, it's not that I know. It's that I've done so many times, gone through failures that I have a strong sense of what will not work. Right. And the realities of that. And if you want to think of it like climbing a mountain, which is what I usually think of it like, I was like, I'm just further on the hillside than you are, which means I actually can see from my perspective that you got a big, in about half a mile, you got a huge boulder coming up. Don't get freaked out, but it's right there, right? All right. Hey, and just so you know, also, there's going to be a ravine. You can't see from where you're standing because you're standing behind like a berm, right? You're behind like a hill. You can't see, but I can see from where you are that you're probably going to run into this and that, right? And that's what I mean by perspective. That's the gift of perspective. When you have gone down a route for a while, you have perspective that brand new people don't. Right? So you're trying to gain perspective as fast as possible. One of the best ways I ever give the gift of perspective to myself is by stepping away. Right? You can't see your business when you're that close to it. You can't see what its needs are. You can't see what the pieces are. So one of the best things I ever do for our company is leaving it, right? For a day or two, just walking away. And instead of focusing on a piling up to-do list, I get a chance to step back and say, what's with the piling up to-do list? What's broken? And then I get to go fix it and work on it. And that's part of the other piece that I'm saying with this is that it's okay to do that. It's okay to stress test your systems. It's actually one of the best things you could do for growth, for the growth of the company. So that's my whole point. Hopefully I sold you on it. Take a break. When you need to, take a break. If you're not flowing, for some reason you're not in flow, it's not happening, you can't seem to get the right mojo moving along, it might be that you just need to take a break. And then you come back to it and you're like, oh, as I'm walking back up to the same object, I'm starting to see the other things around it and how it relates to the things around it. And like, oh my gosh, look at all the things that I can go do here. I didn't realize I was so close to the project. I didn't see, well, no wonder this has been so hard. There's a rock on the other side of the thing that I'm pushing up the hill. I didn't see that. I've been too focused on the other side of the object. Does that make sense? And that's one of the reasons that you do that. Anyway, hopefully that's helpful for you guys. I appreciate it like crazy. We recorded our event called Lead Machine Live. If you're struggling with leads at all, or you want to just learn how to double your leads with organic methods, which, by the way, organic is not slower or lesser than ads. Just people do organic in a weird way. So go to leadmachinelive.com. Leadmachinelive.com is the replays to our live event. And I think you're going to love it. It's awesome. We teach our frameworks for why our processes work so well. And similar to how if your company can't fulfill or get sales without you, then you're probably not a business yet. Nothing to feel bad about, right? You're just probably not a business yet. And that's what you got to work on next. Same thing is true with leads. I'm at a gas station. I got to get gas now. So I'm going to end the episode here. But same thing is true with leads. If you cannot get leads but without consistently going live every day, or if you can't get leads without always spending money on ads, you are the lead machine. So that's why we called it Lead Machine Live. The point is to make it so that you build a structure that's not based on ads, that's not based on you being a 24/7 influencer and thought leader. I'm not saying you can't do that, but it's a sucky thing to pigeonhole yourself into, right? Then it means that you need to build a lead machine that isn't you, right? It means you're the lead machine, and that's fine. But, you know, if you want to grow past that and have more time, then you really need to look at that as a machine to work on and build and grow, and something that doesn't need you. It's trainable and totally works. Like, that's exactly what we do for our people. So, and for ourselves. Anyway, awesome, guys. Thank you so much. Go to Lead Machine Live. Thanks for listening. Remember to take breaks when it's necessary. Remember to get perspective. And it's totally great to drink the Kool-Aid. 100% going to immersion phases. I'm all about the hustle for a season, but certainly not as a lifestyle. Awesome, guys. Bye.
Everyone who's ever built a sales funnel knows that it's a very powerful skill set, but that you're also dead in the water if you can't control traffic, especially your own traffic. The problem with most marketers is they think in terms of traffic, though, instead of leads. And you should be thinking about leads. An opt-in is not a lead, right? When someone is a lead, they have purchase intent. They have intent to learn about the product on purpose. They know that that's why they're moving forward. So a simple opt-in is not a product lead, yeah? So how do you turn traffic into leads? Is there a way to automate lead gen strategies without massive paid ad budgets or content budgets? And regardless of the offer or price point, just using the internet? Why, yes, yes, there is. Marley Jackson and I did an event called Lead Machine Live teaching exactly this and these strategies. And you can go check it out and watch it at leadmachinelive.com. Mastering organic content for leads, not views, comments, or subscribers, gives you control of everything pre-funnel, pre-page one. Go learn our four-part lead machine at leadmachinelive.com, and you can watch the on-demand event replay right now.
Some matches are temporary, but your privacy shouldn't be. With Line 2, you get a second phone line just for dating. No need to share your personal number until you're ready. You can chat, text, and even block numbers, all while keeping things fun and private. It's perfect for online dating, blind dates, or just keeping things light. When you're ready to move on, Line 2 lets you cut ties without any drama. Dating should be fun and carefree. Line 2 keeps it that way. Ready to date on your terms? Visit line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in the App Store today.